yesterday. Light agenda, not anything controversial on there. You were dealing with a resolution to amend the official zoning map of Lincoln County. This concerns Lot 1 of McCall Administrative Subdivision, and they wanted to rezone from a TA1 Agricultural District to an R1 Rural Estates District. And you said this tract of land was, southeast of Powell's?
Southwest.
Southwest of Powell's a bit? Corey.
It's just a pivot corner. Mm-hmm. If you look at the map, it's basically a pivot corner. And mm-hmm. they consolidated, made their lot, their residential lot bigger. And, we had the formal hearing on it last week. And so yesterday, the attorney had drafted the resolution to officially adopt that change. And because of planning and zoning regs, we have to put that into the record, and that's what we did. So it was a non-issue. It was just finalizing what we had the hearing we conducted the prior Monday.
Now, rezoning to an R1 Rural Estates District, does that mean that they can develop housing, or what's that mean?
No, part of that, as it went through planning and zoning, is that'll be a singular tract now. So they have a home. They will be able to put up an outbuilding, for example, you know, a horse shed or a little barn or a garage. But not add another dwelling. So it kind of simplifies that.
Whereas if it stayed agricultural, they would not be able to put an outbuilding.
Well, I wouldn't say that at all, because the regs are a little looser on ag than they are R1. But essentially, they just had two little parcels there that they wanted to kind of make it whole, so to speak, and make it one dwelling site. And so they had separated it out, I think, with the intent perhaps to split that parcel off to somebody else as long as they could get permission from planning and zoning. But over the years, I get the idea that they'd changed their mind and just wanted to make it one residential tract. And so planning and zoning did all the heavy lifting, as they usually do, and sent it over to us and said, yeah, we think this is okay. Let's consolidate this into one entity. So that's what we did.
Alrighty. You then recessed and convened as a Board of Equalization. And anything under that of note?
Excuse me. We just had one item, and that was an individual that self-policed their return on their personal property, and they went, oops, our accountant forgot to file personal property, and they had a fair amount of rolling stock or whatever it was, and so they turned that in and made an amended return on that for the prior year, and actually resulted in them having to cough up some more personal property tax. So kudos to them for catching it and raising the awareness to the assessor. So she went, gee, thanks for being honest, and here's my modification. And of course, it's just a formality, we have to approve that, which we did, and so it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Those are easily overlooked. I just had a conversation with the assessor yesterday about that, and we as a lot of folks do change accountants, not very often, but we did change accountants a few years ago, Our old accountant was better at keeping track of those personal property forms than our new one. So, it's still, the onus is on you. I mean, it's nobody's fault but ours. But you do have to kind of stay aware of those things. And when that rolls around, it kind of sneaks up on people. And, oh, I forgot to file that. But
is this like when they have a structure but they add something?
This is actually like rolling stock, like if you purchase a UTV or something like that, or a tractor or skid steer loader, things of those of that nature.
Okay.
And those are supposed to be on a depreciation and personal property value, and
kind of like a vehicle.
It is tax. If you take a typical I'll give you an example of our farm and ranch operation over the years. We've had it. Of course, our stuff mostly is antique, and I'm not kidding. But once in a while, we buy something new, to us, and so it ends up on that, and so that's something you have to remember to add that to your personal property list.
You know, if we could only get negative, you know, get a minus on it, so we could subtract from
get a discount
after a certain number of years.
If your tractor has a letter in it instead of numbers, you know, like an M or an H or a C, Farmall. Send me money. They don't do that. But
no, only a dream.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay, and then you, of course, after you wear your Board of Equalization hat, you come back and reconvene as the Board of Commissioners, and you dealt with a couple of purchases and approved a couple of purchases for the Lincoln County Department of Roads. First, a bottom dump trailer that was near new, but saves you some money by letting it be used a little bit and get a good deal on it, huh?
Yes, we actually, Jason Scholes and Brian Gloss came in, and I gave them a bad time. I said, you guys are starting to act like Captain Dan Newton. Every time you come across the street, you want some money for something. And they said, well, we're good, you know, we're good students. We learn from Captain Dan. So they didn't bat an eye. They stuck to their guns, and they had budgeted in for two belly dumpers, and as we've discussed in previous Tuesdays, they do a really good job of maximizing the value of their their rolling stock. You know, when we buy a trailer or a service truck, you know, we like to put 15, 20 years on that son of a gun and take good care of it, keep it maintained, and, you know, wheel bearings and all that good stuff and brakes and these belly dumpers, they should have a 20-year life for the county and hopefully maybe even beyond. And so, you know, they are big expenditures, but I think they had penciled, anticipating the market value of these as new, about $75,000. And they found this one just under $62,000 and had a little bit of road time on it with a construction company, but they were moving bentonite, and I don't know if you're familiar with bentonite, but it's not real corrosive.
I haven't heard of it.
In fact, they use it for bottomless stock tanks. I've poured many a bag of bentonite into stock tanks and stomped it in, and it's fairly innocuous as far as, you know, any abrasive values to caustic characteristics to steel. So it didn't hurt the belly dumper at all, and that was what they had hauled in the brief time it was in the field. So, you know, we saved about $12,000 buying this one. And so we actually had to give them kudos for that. They saw a bargain, and you know, they're very cognizant of the fact that we're a bunch of cheapskates over there. If we can save a buck, we want to.
So what do they use these, as you call them, belly dumpers for?
Well, essentially they're a hopper bottom. They're tapered bottom, and they've got a fairly long clamshell gate under them, and you can trim those out now with, you know, the hydraulic adjustments to open them. So when you're top dressing a stretch of county road, for example, and you're putting either, say, a gravel base or a granite base after you've shaped a road up, or you need some heavier material prior to that, use the belly dumper, and you can take it down the road, trim it out, and drive it. Keep moving as you're dumping, and then your motor grader it's much more efficient as far as in shaping up the road, because you've dropped material down for maybe 100 yards instead of just your end dumpers. You can trim those out just by chaining the back gate and limiting how wide that gate swings open as you tip the box. But, of course, you can get it probably, you know, those are, 10, 12 yards. And these triple axles will probably run, we can probably get 23, 24 yards on those. So it's a lot more efficient when you're 15 miles away from wherever you're sourcing rock or heavy soil to top dress a sand road or something of that nature. So it makes us more efficient.
More efficient.
Yeah, the belly dumpers are really, there's times when you need the end dumps, of course, and end dump trucks, the traditional dump truck is used both for road work and mitigation on snow and ice. So That was the next thing we bought. Was roughly $23,000, I think, for a brand new dump box. And as you might imagine, Corey, salt does eat up material, and they run those dump bodies that we use for salting roads and graveling roads until they're pretty much eaten up. They look like termites were on full staff and pretty much diminished the steel integrity. So mm-hmm. the one they retired is, yeah, you could throw a cat through the side of that thing. It's shot. So, again, I hope we'll get 15, 20 years out of this dump box.
And that's primarily for the sand in icy conditions that they
yeah,
put down then?
Yeah, and you've seen, you know, the state mm-hmm. As well as the county go up and down the highway with the box tilted up yep. and the little fan running in the back, you know, and
yep.
and you if you pass them too close, sometimes you get a nice chip in your windshield.
Yes, well, that can happen.
That's the process that's going on there, and they yep. they'll blend that at the plant or at the yard, and they'll mix coarse salt with road gravel and sand mm-hmm. and blend that up and kind of smear it around in the hopper and dump it in that truck and tilt the bed and away we go. So as you might imagine, you know, freeze thaw and you've got material sitting around and it takes its toll. Salt yep. Salt is very corrosive.
So about how many years do they...
Well, I'm not sure if they know the life they're going to get out mm-hmm. of a dump body like that. It kind of depends. And I think historically they've probably like committed a couple of those to doing that so that they minimize how many boxes they compromise with salt. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I'm guessing probably we're getting 10 to maybe 15 out of those dump boxes mm-hmm. for that reason. But if they don't run sand or the salt blend, they're gonna run mm-hmm. certainly a lot longer than that.
And how much did that cost?
I think it was $23,000. I believe okay. they had three comparative quotes on that, and I believe I don't have that with mm-hmm. the quote on the belly dumper here, Corey. But memory serves, mm-hmm. and that doesn't always serve me well, but. I think it was $23,000 for that dump box.
So another question that came to mind is on the budget aspect of that. Do you give a certain amount of money to the Department of Roads each year then?
We do.
And you're looking at that to make
absolutely.
Decisions on
absolutely.
Things like this?
In fact, there's rarely, I don't think there's ever an occasion where any department that comes in with a big purchase that says we'd like to buy this, you know, the next question is it in your budget and do you really need it kind of simultaneously?
Right.
We always need to challenge that. I mean, that's our deal, the power of the purse. And,
sure.
And we're trying to be good stewards of that. So it was in fact in their budget, both of these items. And of course, we always encourage them to look for bargains and you know, discounted product, and they do a good job of doing so. They really do. But at the end of the day, we always want them to roll back money, roll back to us, and we try not to be arbitrary about that and say, well, you gave it back, so you must not need it. You know, we typically will reappropriate that for the next budget cycle, knowing that they're going to be good stewards on our behalf and not just spend it down to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a trust thing. And almost all the, I have to say, almost all of our folks that manage budgets, our elected officials and our appointed officials, all have that good stewardship with their money. They really do.
That's refreshing to yeah. hear. We've heard so much about fraud at the state level,
yeah,
in Minnesota and California.
You know, and the budget cycle is going to be tough yeah. and tight. And mm-hmm. and I was they were still in the room when we went on to discuss the health premium thing that we'll get into here in a minute. But
mm-hmm.
I looked at them and I said, you know, if she'd have been here 20 minutes earlier quoting these insurance premium raise in cost, you guys probably wouldn't got a belly dumper. They didn't appreciate that a lot, but
probably not.
I tell you, there's, you know, there's a point where, you know, things do start to shrink up on budgets, and we'll be in one of those cycles this year. It's going to be, you know, we've already seen an increase that's going to be staring us in the face of $250,000 for the salary resolution that was passed some months back here in January, and you know, candidly, every time you get something like this that creeps up in cost, it does impact the aggregate and how much is earmarked for, you know, rolling stock, for example, for roads. And they're a soft target, Corey, because when they buy something that's $50,000, it's not five. And, you know, the folks in the courthouse, their big expenditure is typically computer upgrades and things like that. So they're not out there buying, you know, $50,000,
$60,000
or $200,000, $250,000 motor graders and stuff like that. So, but in all candid, to be totally candid, it's going to be a tough budget cycle. We'll be challenging everybody to roll back as much as they can and realign that for the new fiscal year. So,
Regarding the health insurance, you're already looking at purchasing for next year then? Or is this pick up at the fiscal year? Or?
That's a never-ending process. We're always looking at health care costs and premiums, and through NACO, the Nebraska County Officials Association, you know, NACO, they do a lot of work to create a insurance pool, which we participate in, and keep those costs down. And I think in the market, you know, because of rising health costs, I think actually I think it's an average of maybe 22% that a lot of these premiums are going to go up. Fortunately, and you know, it's like, what's the good news, what's the bad news? Well, the bad news is ours is projected to go up 14.65%. That's the bad news. The good news is it could have been more than that, sadly.
So does NACO, do they make a deal for all the county commissioners across the state?
Well, basically? For those counties that do participate, not all counties do.
Okay.
But the ones that do, they do. On the aggregate,
You think you get a better deal by being a part of that?
I do. Yeah, I do. Okay. I think historically you can certainly justify participating in that.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent times, you know, we've had the ability to offer more than one package. You know, with the evolution of the health savings accounts, the HSAs, and that kind of thing. And some of the families, it makes better sense financially for them to bring a higher deductible into their plan. And, I mean, we can't have four or five different plans, but we can have a couple different plans. And so as we wade through all these numbers this year, you know, we may be looking at a deal where we do a $3,500, for example, deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, on that HSA program, and you know, there's other options there, $6,100 and $2,600. But our FOP currently is the only one that's on a $1,600, and that's in negotiation right now with Commissioner Hughley and Commissioner Bruns with the FOP folks, and I think they recognize maybe some value to rolling in their program into one with the rest of the employee group. And we'd like to do that. It would streamline everything for the clerk's office and for budget, from a budget standpoint. Mm-hmm. And so that's being bandied about and discussed and negotiated here and literally now.
What's your deadline on that?
Well, then? My goal would be by the 1st of June that we know that, you know, we've got a solid plan with FOP that we're going to roll that into everything else that we're doing countywide.
And what's FOP? I guess I'm not...
Fraternal Order of Police.
Okay.
It's the negotiating arm for our sworn officers and our corrections folks. They're all in that group. Yep. So... at any rate, a lot of folks don't understand that there are two plans because of that, and has been for a number of years. But they've been very receptive to and understanding that we'd like to roll it all into one package. And so I'm encouraged by that. I think that I'm very hopeful that, you know, we'll get one consolidated plan, and we'll have a couple options. And for the new fiscal year, we'll we'll start brand new.
Sounds good. Anything else out of the meeting you wanted to mention?
Well, not a lot, Corey. We're onward and upward, and I'm still praying for rain. We don't forget that, as you said. So.
Keep it coming.
Yeah.
Commissioner Kent Weems, our guest in the first half of this Tuesday Mugs.